welcome back to another episode of Kiki with Norwood. I'm your host, Norwood, and this week we are chatting with international speaker, author, and joy strategist, Wendy Watkins. So in today's convo, we talk all about the importance of self-care. We also talk about Wendy's mind-body business approach, and we talk about how she helps other people find the joy in their lives. It's a fantastic interview. So let's dive right in. Without further ado, Wendy Watkins. And we are back on Kiki with Norwood with Wendy Watkins. Thank you so much for joining us, Wendy.
You're welcome, Norwood. I'm thrilled to be here.
I am absolutely thrilled to have you here. So before we get into all of the excitement that is you and your work as an international speaker and author and joy strategist, I do like to start off every interview on Kiki with Norwood by asking the guests, do you remember what the first piece of queer culture was that you were exposed to? And do you remember what effect it had on you?
Gosh, the first piece of, I don't know. You know, I have been a fruit fly for the majority of my life. And I say that with love. I have always been close and connected to people of all forms of sexual choice. So the first thing that comes to my mind, though, so that I can just go with a memory of, I remember early on in when I moved to Atlanta, it was probably one of the first gay prides that I went to at Piedmont. It used to be at Piedmont Park, much smaller than it was this past pride in the park. Sure. Oh, my gosh.
It's definitely grown over the years.
Yes, but it was really intimate. And it was there was something about that community of people that made me feel so at home. You know, there's something about the queer culture that it commands authentic expression, right? Yeah. I mean, it's just like it for all of us people out there that are, I don't know, straight in that sense, you know, it has us stand up to be more of who we are. And I remember the friends I was with at that gay pride in the early 90s, they made me a shirt. It was a handwritten shirt. And I can't believe I don't have it. But my friend Susan, who has passed, she wrote on my shirt, Faggo Haggo.
Oh, my God.
And so, you know, once again, that just opened conversation and called for authentic expression. And that's what I love about that type of queer culture.
Yeah. Oh, that's a fabulous way to be exposed to it is, you know, at Gay Pride. And yeah, they just, I think this upcoming year, so 2020, I want to say is going to be the 50th anniversary of Atlanta Pride or something, or it's getting close because it was one of the first prides after Stonewall. I think it was New York and San Francisco, and then Atlanta happened like a year later. So it's been going on for a while and has become the largest in the Southeast and one of the largest in the country. Over 200,000 people attend it every year now. So,
well, we finally got smart and moved it to October instead of in July.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It makes a big difference.
It does make a big difference. Absolutely. And there's a couple other cities that do that too. I think they do that in some of the prides in Florida and Palm Springs does that in Phoenix, all the places where it's just unbearably hot. They finally caught on and said, you know what? We're going to celebrate with you in June, but we will have the party in October. We'll have the main event in October when it's not so hot. Yeah. So before we got on the call, I actually already kind of interacted with you today on Facebook. You have a group right now, the Joy Jammers group, and you are helping people to create more joy in their lives because that's one of your roles as a joy strategist. So we played the first round of Joy Bingo. Do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about that and how they can join this week?
Oh, yes. I was so glad that you and Jane were there. We had a good amount of people there. So part of my mission and purpose, I believe, in life is to be the spark that lights people's fire. And one of the things specifically around entrepreneurs is that that fire can get dimmed because of the ups and downs of the entrepreneurial journey. You know, being an entrepreneur is the biggest personal development class you'll ever take in your life. And it just brings everything to the forefront. And what I've learned through my experience is that when we are joyful, and it's not even just my experience, scientific studies show that when we are flourishing, when we're feeling good, we can accomplish more. Right? It's just think about it for yourself, each and every one of you. When you're having a great day, it's easy to accomplish, but there are things that get in the way of that. And my intention with Joy Bingo is to help people uncover the things that are getting in their way of having more joy, and also teaching them things that they could implement each and every day, simple little things that will raise their joy factor so they can go out there and enjoy the entrepreneurial journey and not be so stressed by it while also making the impact and income that they really want to make in the world. So this game is a chance for people to come together in community, a like-minded community, to lean into each other, to see the similarities we all have. Because as entrepreneurs, we think we're the only ones feeling the loneliness or the stress or the anxiety. But bringing everyone together and then teaching everyone how to have more joy so they can go out and spread that joy to the world.
Oh, well, I am so excited for the rest of the week of Joy Bingo. I'm kind of trying to fill out my card already, like we talked about. And so this episode is going out tomorrow. So it's not too late for people to join in, right?
No. You can come and join in at any time. Just come on over to register at playjoybingo.com. And then you'll get your bingo card and the link to come into the Joy Jammers group. And everything is recorded on that Joy Jammers group. So you could jump in and join us at any time.
Oh, fantastic. So everybody, I highly encourage you to go and do that. So Wendy, you like to teach people about the mind-body business approach. Can you tell us about what that is?
Yeah. I have been, as a joy strategist, I got my training early on. I got my professional coach training in, I guess it was 1999. So I've been at this for 20 years now. And what I've realized in working with entrepreneurs is that it's all about the mindset, the self-care, and the business strategies that help people move forward. And right, wouldn't you say it's those three things, Norwood?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you got to have a clear focus of where you want to go. You've got to know how to use your thinking to support you in getting there, and then having clear boundaries, because so many entrepreneurs just work all the time, or they don't know how to say no to things, not sure what to say yes or no to. So it's coaching and training them around how to use these valuable skills of our mind, right? Because that's the only thing we can control in life, period, end of sentence, is our thoughts and how we react to life. And then having a clear vision of knowing where you're going. So people that I work with, they are open to learning the personal development that complements the professional development. Because yes, it's important to have a great website and know how to use Facebook, maybe do ads, know how to use social media, have a great podcast. You know, all of those pieces are really important. But if you as the business owner is not functioning at its high, at your highest level, all of those other things are not going to be as powerful and impactful and enjoyable as if you have more joy, confidence, and a good plan to work for your business.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned self-care, and I'm glad you did, because self-care is becoming more of a visible trend in society these days. And it is something that you talk about and you teach about. What are some misconceptions about self-care that people might have? And how can people begin to care for themselves more?
Oh, great question. Misconceptions. It's an interesting word. You know, so many people think self-care is all about diet and exercise, right? What you need to eat and how much you need to move. And because in the past, that's where the focus has been, on the physical health. And those things are super important, for sure, you know, to pay attention to. You want to make sure you're drinking enough water and eating more green foods and less white foods, you know, things like that. That is truly self-care. But I come at it from a place of mental well-being, right? This is a place of mental wellness that really needs attention in our world right now. And here's the thing, just because you don't have mental illness doesn't mean you have mental wellness.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And so mental well-being or mental self-care is essential to living a life that you love. And so many people don't realize that they can consciously create their lives, that they don't have to live by default and do it the way they've always done it, or the way their parents did it, or the way their partner does it. So self-care for me is choosing ways to think, right? Reading positive things. Like, so what are you reading? Are you reading the newspaper, or are you reading something that lifts you up? What are you listening to, right? Are you listening to amazing music, like musicians like Norwood, that wakes people up to things in the world? Or are you listening to music that is, you know, nothing for nothing. My husband is a rocker. He loves heavy metal. I cannot listen to that music. I just can't do it. For him, he can do it. So what you're listening to, the type of self-care of who are you spending time with? You know, are the people you're spending time with raising your vibration, or are they energy vampires? All of those things, looking at, like I mentioned earlier, what you're saying yes to and what you're saying no to, all of those things help your mental well-being, which are keys to enjoying your life and creating a life you love.
And yeah, I think that is so important that, like you said, while the physical health is important, it's not the only part of us as whole people. There's the mental side and the emotional side as well. That also has to be cared for and nurtured. And I think, at least from my vantage point, I see more people beginning to talk about that and the importance of that just in the culture. And I think that's a really positive thing that is beginning to happen, that this conversation is beginning to kind of come to the forefront of people, you know, making their mental and emotional health a priority as well as their physical health, and trying to, you know, put it on the same level as physical health, and as far as, you know, taking care of it. So I think that's a really good thing that's happening. Do you think that, are you seeing that as well?
Oh my gosh, yes, Norwood. I'm so thrilled about it, because, you know, it's a conversation I've been having for a long time. And you know, now I'm easier to come out. You know, look, it's ironic, of course. So here I am, you know, a woman that wrote a book about joy, the Joy Factor recipe book. I speak about it. I teach about it. And I'm someone that deals with depression on a regular basis, you know, and part of my give back in the world is my volunteer work with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. And one of our big things there, the big initiatives around research and education for the AFSP, is around one of our classes we teach called Talk Saves Lives. Because we need to be talking about this more. People, there's so much shame around depression and anxiety, that we're seeing this epidemic and increase in suicide, and that we need to be talking about this so people aren't feeling alone. You know, yes, it's not a comfortable topic to breach, but yet we can't be suffering in silence. We've got to silence the shame and be able to start having more conversations so people feel safe and can continue to find the resources they need to live their life the way they want to.
Absolutely. And I'm 100% on board with that. Now, something that you and I have in common is that we both spent a large chunk of our summer in Europe this year, where you've been having wonderful success. Can you tell us about the work that you're doing there?
Oh, gosh, Europe. Don't you love Europe, Norwood? Oh, my gosh.
I do. I really do.
I love being an American, but I got to tell you, I could easily be an American that lives in Europe. It's just so great there. And one of the things that brought me there was I work with a group called the Brand Builders Club, and we're a global group that work on brand acceleration. And so I got to bring my message of joyful entrepreneurism to both London and Amsterdam, and then got to speak at a few other events there. And the one thing that I saw, and I knew in my heart of hearts, but really got clear on, is that we are so all the same. It doesn't matter what country you speak, what country you live in, what language you speak. We all want to be loved and appreciated and seen and respected.
Absolutely.
Right? That common denominator, you take, you know, yes, we say it's a small world, but it truly is a small world and a beautiful world at that.
It is. And I've experienced the same thing, because I've been very lucky and blessed the last few years to tour Europe several times performing, primarily at Pride festivals, and to just see, like you just said, that deep down, we people are all the same and really just want the same things out of life. And it's made me, I think, a more compassionate person and a more, perhaps more patient person, because I think a lot of the time as Americans, we aren't always exposed to as many people from different cultures and different language backgrounds. And so we might not have the kind of compassion when someone is maybe struggling to communicate in a country where they don't speak the language. But then when you're on the other side of it, you realize just how difficult that can be. And so you maybe have a little bit more compassion for people that maybe don't speak English, but then, you know, I go to Germany and I don't speak very much German. So, so I think that's been really helpful for me personally, just to, but then at the same time, you kind of realize at the end of the day, oh wait, even though we don't speak the same thing, we're still wanting the same things, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I think that's been one of my favorite things about traveling and being able to go to different places, is just having that realization over and over, no matter where I go, okay, these people might live differently than I do and have different experiences, but at the end of the day, we're all still people. And, you know, we all have the same ups and downs in life and the same wants and needs. And it's a beautiful thing to realize.
Yes. Yes. And then there's always the food. I don't know about you. I'm a foodie, and I just was like relishing all of the different experiences in these other countries.
Oh, let me tell you, when we went to Italy last year, I was on a no-carb, left-behind diet for 2 weeks. every carb was going in and out.
Yes.
Oh, it was so good. And everywhere has their own unique food. And I just got off of working on a two-week cruise. And so there was plenty of delicious food options available to me at almost any hour. So that's dangerous. I'm about to go on another one in 3 weeks. So now that I'm back in Atlanta for a few weeks, I'm trying to moderate and just, you know, trying to eat healthy, nice, knowing that it's going to be a free-for-all again in a few weeks. But
isn't that perfect? I love that, how we could do that, right? We just make different choices, and it's not an all or nothing. It's just knowing, like, now moderation, because in a few weeks, well, also in a few weeks, we have Thanksgiving, right? Which to me is the official start of the eating season, right? And that runs through Super Bowl Sunday. So it's a big season there.
Yes. I've got a birthday in there too. So it's Thanksgiving and then birthday cake, and then it's Christmas, and then it's New Year's, and then it's, you know, Super Bowl. So yeah, like you're saying, it's just one eating thing after another. Yeah. So
I love it. I love it.
So backing up a little bit, I did want to ask you, what brought you to becoming a joy specialist and inspiring others? What brought you into this career path?
Well, you know, when I worked for Aveda, you know, hair, skin, makeup, that company. I worked for one of the distributors for 13 years, and I was one of the first $1 million salespeople for Aveda. And wow. Yeah, it was a lot of shampoo, Norwood, a lot of shampoo. And they asked me to become a mentor for other sales professionals. And I was like, okay, great. I know how to sell, but I'm not sure how to be a mentor. So I jumped online to see how to become a better mentor. And that's when coaching popped up. And it was like, that was a defining moment for me. I was like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I want to do. Because I've been a personal development junkie all my life. My mom took me kicking and screaming when I was 17 to see Dr. Wayne Dyer. Like, I cared about an erroneous zone at that point. That was when his first book came out. And yeah. But it opened my eyes to conscious creation. And so when I saw that, I was like, this is exactly what I want to do. And it was a year later that I jumped in and went through my coach training and became certified and started coaching and realized that the essence for people is their emotional well-being, that when they are feeling good, it's easier to accomplish more. And when they're not, they're not. And honestly, there was a point in my journey that I was really looking for joy outside of myself, for happiness outside of myself, Norwood. I mean, really, for the majority of my adult life, even though I was successful at that time, I was spending more time looking for that happiness. I call that my sex, drugs, and rock and roll years. And realized that when all of those things went away, when the new shoes went away, or the brownie went away, or the buzz went away, because I was just partying all the time, looking for that happiness, that I felt worse afterwards. So I went on a quest for sustainable joy. And that is when I started to see that, oh, there are tools and resources that will help people create a life they love that is more sustainable than always looking for the next thing that brings us happiness. Look, and I'm not saying I still get happy buying a pair of shoes, but it's being connected to my passion. It's authentic expression. It's self-care and using that positive mindset that has that sustainable joy that allows me to make the extended impacts that I want to make. So that's how it all started. And now, it's just, to me, the perfect time to be expanding it more into the world.
Ah, well, I love that. And that's so cool that you were able to take your one career path you had started with at Aveda, and it kind of launched you into your new passion and, you know, a bigger expression of what it is you wanted to do. That's so wonderful when the universe works out that way.
It does, doesn't it? And in hindsight, I have to tell you, when I reflected on my success with Aveda, because that's a good tool to reflect, when I reflected to see, well, what was it that made me so successful? I realized that I was essentially coaching these salon owners. I was helping them look at what was most important to them in their life. What was it that they wanted to accomplish in their business? And I then showed them how selling more product could help them achieve those goals by increasing their finances. And so in hindsight, it was like, you know, I wasn't your traditional salesperson. I'm all about relationship. And it's still the same thing. When people can get clear on what's important to them and what essentially is going to bring them the most passion and joy and purpose in their life, I help them figure out how to get there.
Oh, that's fantastic. And one of the ways that you help people get to where they want to be is you talk a lot about behaviors and rituals. Can you briefly tell us what those are and how our listeners can use them to their advantage?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, our behaviors, our habits, our rituals. Do you know the difference, Norwood, between a habit and a ritual?
Is a habit maybe not always, like maybe a ritual is something you consciously do and a habit maybe you might do automatically without thinking about it?
Yep. You're right on with that, right? So you think of a habit like brushing your teeth, right? You don't even think about it. You just do it, right?
Sure, yeah.
A ritual is a habit with meaning.
Oh, okay.
Right? So a ritual may be journaling or reflecting or meditating, right? It has a little bit more meaning than just brushing your teeth or taking a shower or making that cup of coffee.
Yeah.
So the best ways for us to create a ritual, for instance, like one that I love, 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 that is so powerful for people, is called the art of reflection. I don't know about you, but at the end of the day, we can all look back and think of all the things that we didn't accomplish, right? Because we're all busy. We have a lot happening. And often we think about, oh my gosh, I didn't call this person. I didn't follow up on this email. I didn't send this out. Yeah. What if instead of that, we started to shift the way we think about it at the end of the day and ask ourselves a question of what went well today? Mm. What went well? So you start to shift the way your brain goes. These are the neural pathways, right? Because the neural pathway right now is going on all the things that I didn't get done. That's naturally where you go. But when you start asking yourself what went well, and you'll be amazed when you start reflecting and thinking, wow, well, I finished that paper. I wrote that article. I called that person. I took time for myself today. I did what I told myself I was going to do. That starts creating a new neural pathway. And what you put your attention on expands. Would you agree?
Yes.
So the more you're thinking about what went well in your day versus what you didn't get done, you're going to start accomplishing more. So that type of ritual, which becomes how you're thinking with meaning, makes a big difference in each and every day. So by finding habits and or rituals that support you in shifting your joy factor, because that will make you feel good. When you really think about what you accomplished, it raises that level of joy, can make a big impact. So try that and see what happens.
Absolutely. I'm going to try that. I like that idea of, like you said, rather than playing that tape in your head at the end of the day of, oh, I didn't do this. Oh, I forgot to finish that. Or, oh, I still have that to do, like the loose ends. Instead, looking at the things that you have tied up, the things that you did accomplish and finish, and focusing on that and kind of raising your vibration that way.
Yeah.
I think that's a fantastic thing. So Wendy, what would you say is the best thing about your job?
Oh my gosh. I pinch myself every day because I have the opportunity to support people in living a life they love. I mean, what is better than that? My favorite part about my job is when I'm coaching my clients, right? When I'm there with them, over there, helping them accomplish the goals that they want to accomplish. There is nothing better than that. I mean, yes, I love being on stage. I love speaking because that makes a bigger impact. But really, when it comes down to it, my one-on-one relationships with my clients is what raises my joy factor in my work.
That's fantastic. I could see how that would, you know, really be a very rewarding feeling. I kind of have had the same feeling before because I teach voice lessons. Yeah. And so when I have like a really great breakthrough or aha moment with a student where they can finally, you know, do something they couldn't do before or something finally clicks, it's a really rewarding feeling to know that I helped them get there.
I know.
Now, besides your work, what is something else that you're passionate about that people might not know?
Oh, let's see. Well, I love creativity. I love making things. Like yesterday, I went to a class at Beehive and learned how to do this arm knitting. I just love learning. Like I love making felt flowers and jewelry. I love art and making things with my hands. It helps me to get out of my head and to be in the flow. So that's one thing I love. And I also am a rocker. I love me some Led Zeppelin and all of that, like old classic rock. Bring it back. Bring it on. I don't know if you've heard Greta Van Fleet. Have you heard them, Norwood?
I don't think I have.
I don't know if you're a rocker, but they're like the new Led Zeppelin. And I just love turning the music up loud and dancing every day in my house as a rocker. Mm-hmm. Me and my dog Eli, he loves rocking out with me. So that's something people may not know about me. I could go on and on, but those are two things. I love art, I love music, I love food, and I love my friends and family.
There you go. That's really all you need in life, right?
Pretty
art,
much.
Music, food, friends and family. Checking off all the boxes there. I'm going to check them out. Greta Van Fleet. I'm going to look them up and give them a listen for sure.
Yeah.
And now, one question I like to ask my guests is if you could turn back time and talk to the 18-year-old Wendy, what would you tell her?
Oh, gosh. the 18, I would just tell her that don't worry about other people's loving you. Love yourself. The most important love you could give is the love that you give to yourself. And when you give that love to yourself, then you'll find the love everywhere else that you're looking.
That's a powerful one. I think that's one that most of us who are no longer 18 could still use reminding of, that important lesson.
Yes.
Oh. And then lastly, if you were queen of the world for one day, I mean, I know you're already queen of the world, but let's say
the old world I am.
Let's say for one day you had unlimited power and resources. You could change one thing. What would that be?
If I could change one thing in the world.
Mm-hmm. Sky's the limit.
Yeah. I would take away everybody's ability to negatively compare themselves to other people. That would just go away. Bringing back the sameness, the connection, and quit comparing and judging yourself on what you think other people have accomplished, how much money they have in the bank, what their life is like. Quit that, and have that eradicated in the world for the day and see what kind of connection could be created from there.
I would love to see that happen in the world. That would be very, very interesting. Because I think, like you said, it's especially in the world of Instagram and social media, it's so easy to compare our life, our boring moments, to other people's, you know, highlight reel on Instagram. And so I think you're right to kind of be able to step back from that and try not to, you know, compare ourselves to other people and what we think other people are like, when in reality, we're all going through the same thing. We're all struggling from sometimes, and you know, we have ups and downs, but you know, at the end of the day, we're all human, right?
Yeah, it would be like everybody would have to have like a compassion tea. They'd have to drink compassion tea all day long, which would take away the eradicate the ability to compare, because we'd all be compassionate and empathetic with each other. I love there that you question, go. Norwood. That's a great question.
Oh, well, that was a great answer. Thank you for it. So before we let you go, we're going to play a round of Love It and Over It. So we will each share something we are loving this week that we want everyone to know about, and something that maybe we're not so loving. So I'll start so you can kind of take a moment to think of yours.
Thank you.
So my loving this week is the new season of Great British Baking Show on Netflix. Have you watched this at all, Wendy?
Yes, I have.
Oh, it's my, I can't even call it a guilty pleasure, because I feel no guilt about this show. I love this show. And so they just wrapped up the latest season. And what I loved about it is that I guess their deal with Netflix is now changed in the States. So it used to be they would have a season, it would air week to week in the UK, and then eventually they'd put the whole season up on Netflix. Well, this season we got it at the same time as the UK. So it would air in the UK, and then the next day we would have that new episode pop up on Netflix. So I was able to watch it every week kind of in real time and really enjoy it. And they just wrapped up the season, and I'm very happy with the winner. I won't spoil who it was, but I was rooting for this person. And it's just such a fantastic show. If anyone out there listening hasn't watched it, you might not be thinking, oh, baking, I don't really care about baking. I didn't really care about baking. I do now that I've watched the show and seen every season. But what I really love about it is that it is kind of, for me at least, the antidote to like the craziness of our current world. And it, for me, it brings me joy, right? It's like going back to that, to sit down and watch this show where people are just baking for the fun of it. There's really no prize other than the title of, you know, the winner. So they're just doing it because they love to do it. And they're also creative, and they're like supportive of one another. And it's not like there's no, reality show manufactured competition and drama of, you know, people sabotaging. Like, there's none of that. It's very like quaint and British, and just I just love watching it so much. So that was my love it for this week. What was yours, Wendy?
Well, I just have to pick one, Norwood. Oh my gosh.
For this exercise, one.
Okay, yes. This one. Well, I think it's the, I think it's going to be the impact that today has on the world, which is Veterans Day here in the States. I'm really excited about the ability to recognize our veterans for the service that they've provided, and also the, you know, the impact that that's going to make. More and more people are realizing the challenges that veterans are dealing with. Talk about mental well-being, right? And so a day like today of being able to step out and consciously reaching out to people that I know that are veterans and letting that gratitude and appreciation impact them, and then the ripple effect that that will make throughout the week excites me. Mm. Yeah. Because I think
that's great.
It's so important. We forget it, and I'm not even going to go into how we deal with veterans, but so that is what is, but each of us can make a positive impact by reaching out and recognizing these people that helped make our country what it is today.
Absolutely. And being there to support them, especially like you said, with the mental health piece of it, which I think for, you know, many generations of veterans now has been missing from the, you know, the care that we try to provide when they come home.
Yes.
There really hasn't been that support. And it's been, I think, the, you know, that very, I guess, military kind of macho idea of, oh, you know, you're fine. You don't need to worry about that. You know, can you walk? Good. You're good. You know, walk it off kind of a feeling. But realize, I think that, that people are starting to realize you can't always do that with mental health, and you need, you know, there needs to be more support there for our veterans and these people that, you know, go through difficult things on our behalf and need that support.
Yes, absolutely. It's imperative. And just reaching out in a phone call, a text, you know, of appreciation makes a much bigger impact than we realize.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that's what I'm loving this week. The energy that's around that today on Facebook, on the news. And I hope that that ripples around where people take it longer than just one day a year.
Absolutely. Now, moving on to Over It. My Over It is nothing too serious this week, but I just came back from, working on a cruise for 2 weeks. I'm so over that. No, just kidding. That
was fantastic. Oh, poor Norwood.
Oh my gosh, my life is so hard. No, that was wonderful. But what I am over is people at the airport who are very impatient. So I was surrounded by quite a few people, you know, standing in security lines, immigration lines, whatever, who were, you know, just impatient that they had to stand in a line. It kind of brings down my joy factor.
Yes.
I'm pretty good at standing in line because I always get to the airport early. I am expecting there might be a line, so I'm not surprised by it. So, you know, stand there in line, wait your turn. You'll be through it soon. So I'm kind of like in that space, but then other people being impatient can start to bring down that joy factor. Do you have any tips for kind of protecting yourself from that negative energy?
Oh, wow. Well, I think one thing that you said you're already doing, you know, that I think what people lack patience, one, because they may be running late, right? So they're freaking out. Right. So giving yourself enough time, not trying to squeeze in so many things, allows you to have that patience. And it also comes back to being more mindful, learning about mindfulness, because when we're living in the future, always thinking about what the next thing we need to do, that creates that impatience. So when we can just be mindful and appreciate what's happening in the moment and turn around and talk to the person in line, get to know them, commiserate around how you want the line to move, it helps to create connection and lessen that impatience.
Okay. Well, that's good. I'm going to try to continue doing that and just try to stay in my own little mindful, positive bubble.
Yeah.
That's what I try to do. I try to just be mindful of the fact that, you know, okay, this is just what this moment is. It's going to last a few minutes probably. And, you know, then it'll be over.
Well, and I think gratitude also, like just to have gratitude that, you know, wow, I'm standing in line at the airport. How grateful am I that I have the ability to travel and do what I want to do in my life? You know, right there, we forget that when the impatience comes in as well.
Yeah. And I will say that gratitude is usually a little bit more accessible as I'm leaving to go there than on the way back. On the lines on the way back coming home, it's the gratitude's, I have to reach a little harder for that, but I agree. So what are you over this week, Wendy?
Oh, I'm over this every week, Norwood. I am over people in traffic, not letting people merge and getting angry when someone has to get in front of you. You know, doesn't everybody mess up sometimes? Like sometimes we all need to get over in the right lane. We forgot that we needed to turn. Everybody acts like they have never had to merge in their life before, but they have never had to let someone in front of them. And I'm like, what is it with you people? You have like memory loss or something about this, and they get so angry. And why not just let people merge? I mean, that really is, you know, my biggest desire when it, my big why for people being more joyful in life is because I want more people to let me merge in traffic. It is a selfish goal because
a self-serving goal.
When people are happy, they let you merge. They don't get so freaked out about things. So that's what drives me nuts. People, be more compassionate. Remember when you needed to get in front of someone and don't freak out so much. Just smile and wave and move on.
Yep. And as a Southerner, I will say when you're on the other end of that and you someone has let you in, do the nice thing and just give them a little wave after you.
That's
the one thing that bothers me. I'll be in a nice mood. I'll let someone over and I don't even get a wave. I'll be like, oh, I didn't wave. I grew up driving in the South and that's just what we do here. Maybe not everywhere, but if someone lets you in, give them a little wave.
Well, they'd much rather give you the finger if you don't let them in. So, you know, I don't understand that.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Wendy. And again, everyone needs to go to playjoybingo.com, right? If they want to get in on playing Joy Bingo with myself and you and everyone else.
Yes, come on over. It is going to be fun. And who doesn't like to yell, bingo? I swear, I hear a bingo.
I do. And now, is there anything else you'd like to plug or where can people find and follow you and learn more about you?
Oh, yeah. Come on over. Now, one thing I do every Wednesday at 9 a.m., I have a Joy Jam on Facebook. So that's a fun way to connect with me. So that's over on my Joy Strategist page on Facebook. It's facebook.com/Joy Strategist. Come join the Joy Jams. You can always find me on my website, wendywatkins.com, but that's not as fun as the Joy Jam, I'll tell you that much. And and if you're ever in Decatur and anyone wants to have a conversation about joy, drop me a note. Love to do that.
There you go. One of my favorite parts of Atlanta, Decatur. I love that town. It's a really, really fun place. So thank you so much for joining us on Kiki with Norwood, Wendy. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, Norwood, thank you so much for having me. What a great opportunity to connect with you and share my passion with your people. Thank you for having me.
And that's going to do it for this week's episode of Kiki with Norwood. Thanks again to Wendy for joining us and for sharing all that fabulous information with us. And thanks to you for tuning in and listening. If you haven't already, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcasting app. You can find us absolutely everywhere. And if you don't mind, go over to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. Let people know why you love the podcast. That can really help us find new listeners and help them to find us. Kiki with Norwood is produced by Jane Madigan. Thank you so much, Jane. And if you would like to be a guest on a future episode of the podcast, you can reach out to her via email. You can find her email address in the show notes. Thanks again for listening, and we will see you next time on Kiki with Norwood.